In these verses here, we see these some of the background in terms of why judgment was coming upon Jerusalem. In verses 26 through to 36, there in chapter 32, we have this background as to why God is delivering or giving the city over to the Chaldeans. As a point of interest, and this might have already been brought to your attention, that we find that in the book of Jeremiah we find more about the Babylonians than any other part of the Bible. Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God is the God of the impossible, isn't he? He is immutable, unchanging. There is nothing too hard for our Heavenly Father. Therefore, in verse 28, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal and poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Verse 30 and 31, For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day that I should remove it from before my face. In verse 32 there and through to 34, we continue, because of all the evil of the children of Israel, of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction, for they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high place of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, It shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. What an indictment upon the nation of Israel. And yet, as our brother Ron Jarrett shared with us earlier on, that God has made promises, specific promises to Israel, and he will keep them. Why? Because Israel is uniquely special to God. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6 says, For thou art an holy people of the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. We look at Israel today, surrounded by enemies. And I suspect that you're like me, watching the news, thinking about what's going to take place. And to a degree, the call for election is a little bit of a relief for me, because on the 4th of November, I'm going to be in Israel, Lord willing. And I thought then that Netanyahu was going to take a preemptive strike against Iran. That might still happen. But Israel is uniquely special unto God. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 and 10, For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert place, and in the waste, howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Also in Zechariah 2:8, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he set me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And yet we see church today, and we looked at those various positions in the last session, and effectively that first position was a picture of identity theft. I hope you understood that. when the church today says, oh, well, God is finished with Israel, and the church now have the promises, that's identity theft. That is undermining the word of God. Because God has a plan for Israel, and God has a plan for the church. And Israel is uniquely special unto God. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God's peculiar treasure. Psalm 135 and verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Israel is God's elect. Isaiah 45 and verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. Mine elect. Israel is God's glory. Isaiah 46 and verse 13. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Are they wonderful verses? Don't they encourage your heart concerning Israel? A nation that draws so much attention from world powers. And although Iran says, let's wipe them out, when you look at what's happening in the United Nations, which is virtually a toothless tiger, almost you think quietly they're saying exactly the same thing, but they're not prepared to say it, because there's no support. Indeed, Israel is God's hidden treasure. Those wonderful mystery parables you find in Matthew 13. And the Lord says, and again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found it, hath found he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath, and buyeth that field. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life, bought with the blood of the Lamb, has been hidden until the Lord returns. Don't let anyone tell you anything else. God has a special plan for the nation of Israel. And as we think about the heart of God with regards to Israel, in Jeremiah 32 and 33, we see these wonderful promises that God gives. I will gather them out. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries whither I have driven them in mine anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. I will bring them again unto this place. I will cause them to dwell safely. Look what it says in verse 38. I trust you've got your Bibles open there. I'd read Jeremiah 32, because in verse 38, although it's up here, it's good to see it there in front of you. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will be their God. Verse 39, we talk about one heart and one way, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. We saw that video a little earlier on, a divided nation at odds with one another. Verse 40, look what we see there, an everlasting covenant. I'll not turn away from them. I will put my fear in their hearts, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. A new covenant, of course. Jeremiah 31, 33. Also, we find that in Ezekiel 36, 26 and verse 27, chapter 37 of Ezekiel, and verses 30, 23 through to 24. I will rejoice over them. I will plant them in this land. I will cause their captivity to return in verse 44. But let's just go back to verse 41 there. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart, with my whole soul. Verse 42 says, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so I will bring them again all the good that I have promised them. And the field shall be brought in this land, bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate, without man or beast. It is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. Verse 44, men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidences, and seal them, and take witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and the places about Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the cities of the mountains, and the cities of the valley, and the cities of the south, for I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Wonderful I wills. Who said it? God said it. I will. Not maybe, not perhaps. I will. When Jesus said in John 14:3, I will come again. Not fiction, a fact. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen? There's the new covenant then, verse 40.